Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I've just wrapped up a three-week tour, if you will, a three-midweek tour of being a part of midweek Lenten worship with some of the other ELCA churches in Lorain County. I had the pleasure of being able to be with the people from a two-point congregation, which is two congregations joined together, of Redeemer in Elyria and Christ in Lorain. Also, the second week I was gone, I was at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in South Elyria. And then just this past week, I was with the people from First Lutheran in Lorain holding worship at Redeemer Episcopal Church. And the reason we did this, the reason the other pastors got together and had the idea of kind of joining forces was because this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation coming up in October, and they thought it'd be good for us to start working together on different things, and we'll continue to do things in the future. And also in the same spirit of it being the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, they thought it would be a good idea if we went over Luther's small catechism for the midweek services. Now, how many of you have had a chance to get to a midweek service this year? Okay. So that number seems about right. Yes. Okay. And if you would had the chance to be here, you would know that the first week I was here and I went over the Ten Commandments. And the second week, Pastor Jimmy Madsen from Lorain was here, and he went over baptism. The next week after that, Pastor Paul Jaster was here from Emmanuel in Elyria, and he went over the Lord's Prayer. And then just this past week, Pastor Lori Miller was here, and she went over the Apostles' Creed. And if you come this week, this is the last week for a midweek service. If you come this week, I will be back here, and we'll be going over Holy Communion. So those are all parts of Luther's small catechism. And that, tied with the fact that I was traveling to different Lutheran churches, made me consider this week, what makes us Lutheran? What one thing, if there is one thing, really speaks to us as being Lutheran? And I reflected on Luther's small catechism, the different topics that it covers, and also over the gospel readings that have been occurring throughout Lent. So that's what we're going to review today, to try to see what makes us Lutheran. Now, 3 weeks ago, the gospel reading, you may remember it was really long, okay? If you remember that, you are correct. It was very long. They've been very long for the last several weeks. Does anyone remember, for bonus points, what was the gospel lesson from 3 weeks ago? Does anyone remember the gospel lesson from today? Let's just start there. Was anyone listening today? Okay. So, Lazarus. Yes! Thank you, Ron. All right. We know where we're going then, at least. Okay? 3 weeks ago, they were all from John's gospel. And 3 weeks ago, it was the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus and Nicodemus. John chapter 3. And as I was thinking about Luther's small catechism, what makes us Lutheran, and the gospel readings, some of the themes seemed to come together for me, at least in my mind this week. Now, if you remember the story, briefly summarizing the story between Jesus and Nicodemus, it seems to be a lot on to rest a lot on the theme of knowledge and understanding. So Nicodemus is one of the religious leaders. He is a teacher. And he goes to Jesus and he wants to know. He wants to have better understanding of who Jesus is and what he does. And he knows he gets his authority from God, but he wants to understand it more. What that tied into for me were these thoughts in the small catechism of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, every church I went to, I would start the sermon off this way. I would say, are the Ten Commandments important? Raise your hand if you think they're important. So we'll try that. Yeah, you guys were doing it anyway. Okay. Now, are they just kind of important or are they really important? Really important. Raise your hand if you have all 10 memorized in order. Okay? And that's basically what would happen. The first two churches I was at, everyone answered the exact same way. Yes, they're important. Yes, they're really important. How many people have them memorized in order? And everyone went silent. The second week, exact same thing. This last week, I had two or three people that raised their hand. Now, it didn't hurt that the person who put the bulletin together for the people at First Lutheran Lorraine had put the Ten Commandments in the bulletin. So that kind of helped. But the Ten Commandments, knowing God's commandments, God's laws, God's guidelines for us and how we are to live our lives, how the people of Israel were to live their lives, that's a knowledge-based thing. As is the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is kind of like the mission statement. It's the business model, if you will, for the Christian church. It states what we believe about the Trinity. That God created everything, that Jesus has come, and through His life and death and resurrection, He has redeemed everything. And then the other generic phrase that would be used for the Holy Spirit would be that Holy Spirit comes and sanctifies everything. And so a lot of that is knowledge-based. And how often do we use either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed here in church? How often? Every week. So should we all know it by heart? Yes. I'm not going to ask. Yeah, the Apostles' Creed, yes. And you can thank me after the service that at least in my 4.5 years here, I've never made you once use the Athanasian Creed. Okay, so you can thank me for that after the service. But these things are knowledge-based. Would you say that having the Ten Commandments is what makes us Lutheran? Okay. Would you say that the Apostles' Creed, the fact that we are a confessing church, that we have the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, would you say that us confessing that each week, that's really what makes us Lutheran? No. So those knowledge-based things are not necessarily what make us Lutheran. And I came to the same conclusion. Now, if we go back 2 weeks, does anyone remember the gospel reading from 2 weeks ago? We're getting closer to, Ron, what was today's? Lazarus, we're getting so close to that, okay? Does anyone remember 2 weeks ago? It was from John's Gospel. It was really long. It was from chapter 4. It was Jesus. You know he's in all of the stories. So you can just say, yes, it was Jesus in the story, and I'll go, yes. What's that? Saving the animal on Sunday. Nope. Hold on to that one, Jan, okay? Sharon? The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Everyone clap for Sharon. That was amazing. The woman at the well. And Jesus meets this woman at the well. Now for bonus, extra gold star bonus points, platinum star points, frequent flyer miles, all that good stuff. Can you tell me, anyone tell me, what is, and I realized last night as I did this, I said, what's the main question the woman asks Jesus? And what people did was they responded with questions she asked, and they were all correct. It just wasn't what was in my head. So, what was the main question that the woman asked Jesus that he clarifies for her? Living water was a good one, yes. The husband's was a good thing. Sharon's going to double down, double whammy. What were you saying? Why was he talking to a woman? That's another, all these things were brought up last night and they're all correct. What's that? Am I worthy? That's another great one. For time purposes, I will give you what in my head sticks out and what ties to the small catechism. She asks Jesus, as a Samaritan, and Jesus is a Jew, she asks him, where is the right place for us to worship? Where is the right place for us to worship? You guys say we have to worship in Jerusalem, and we say you have to go to this mount instead to worship. Which one is the right place? And Jesus tells her what? What's that, Beth? That's in Matthew, but yes, that's correct. Where two people are gathered, that's on the exact right path. Jesus tells her, it's coming, a day is coming, it's not going to matter what mountain you're on. It's not about whether you're here or whether you're there. Why? Because God is everywhere. If you worship in spirit and truth, where there are two or three gathered, if you worship in spirit and truth, that is where you come into correct or the place to worship God. And that can happen anywhere. Now, where that tied in for me with the small catechism was the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is this prayer that Jesus teaches the disciples that they ask for, and the prayer enables them to talk to God, to have this dialogue with God wherever they are. Is there any restraint on where you can say the Lord's Prayer? No. And for us, it might seem kind of commonplace because we just have the Lord's Prayer. We've always had it. But for them, this was a groundbreaking thing for Jesus to say, you can talk to God and this is how you do it. Now, would having the Lord's Prayer, and we would agree that we say that, in worship every week, and it doesn't matter where we're worshiping, almost every church that I know of says the Lord's Prayer. Is the Lord's Prayer, and the fact that we confess that, is that what makes us Lutheran? So then we go to last week, and Jan had the answer for last week. Jan, do you remember what was the gospel for last week? The blind man. Jesus heals the blind man. And it's Jesus and the blind man and the blind man and a group of Judeans and then the Pharisees and then the blind man's parents, then back to just the blind man and then Jesus and the blind man and Jesus and the Pharisees. In mud. Jesus heals his blindness by using mud and smearing it on the man's eyes and on his face. And then, and we can see very easily how we could tie or make a connection to the small catechism, what does Jesus tell him to do after he has the mud on his face? He has to do something. Maggie, do you know? Go wash it off. For extra Hebrew points, do you remember the name of the place where he tells her, don't look at Kelly. Kelly doesn't know. She didn't raise her hand in the first place. I would be very surprised if anyone remembered it. So, the Pool of Siloam. Deaconess Ann gets extra Hebrew points for that. Yes. The Pool of Siloam. So he tells the man, go wash this off. And when the man washes this off, it's as if he's been given a new lease on life. He's been given a new experience. He's been reborn now as someone who has sight and can interact with the world in a completely different way than he was able to before. What in the small catechism does that remind you of? Baptism. And he goes, and even though we would not attach his blindness with sin, he goes and he washes off the mud. And in that washing, in that cleansing, he is a new creation through Christ. Now, we do baptism here in the Lutheran Church. Is baptism what makes us Lutheran? All right, Ron, it's all been building to this, okay? Today we had a gospel reading. It was from John chapter 11. Can you tell us what the topic was? Lazarus! Everyone clap for Ron. That was amazing. He's been holding on to that for the last 5 minutes, just going like, I'm going to say it. It's Jesus and Lazarus. And I'm so glad that's exactly how we phrased it. And that's how it's put in the text as well. So Jesus hears that his dear friend, whom he loves, he hears from the sisters, Martha and Mary, send word to Jesus that his friend is ill. Is he just ill or how ill is he? He's going to die. And what is Jesus' response? Does he hop on a donkey and head right for the village? No. He intentionally waits. Where am I at? My my trusty assistant. 15. Dear Lord, I'll wrap it up. Okay. So, Jesus waits. He waits and doesn't go back right away. And we can look at our story for this, because this is some fantastic, beautiful stuff in the story today. Jesus waits to go back, and Lazarus is dead when he gets there. And Martha meets him on his way back, and then we get this potential of what is this story really about? Could it be about knowledge? Could it be about belief? Because Jesus asks her a question. If we go to verse, let's see here. Verse 25 and 26 and 27, that's where we're going to focus. Because Jesus gets there, and Martha's comment to him is what? If you had been here, what? He wouldn't have died. And that's even stated by people from the community once he actually goes to the tomb. They say, hey, this guy just healed the man who was blind. Why wasn't he here earlier? And so Jesus gives this whole little speech to her that's very famous, and he tells her about how he is the resurrection and the life, and he asks Martha, do you believe this? And in verse 27, she says what? Yes. So is this story really about belief? Raise your hand if you think it's about belief. You have a 50-50 shot of being right or wrong. All of you are very timid. Yes. So we go from verse 27. Now here's what I want you to go to. Verse 27, let's go to verse 38. Jesus gives her this speech and he says, I am the life, the resurrection. And he says, do you believe? And she says, yes, I believe. And then we go to verse 38 and Jesus says, let's roll the stone away from the tomb. And in verse 38, Martha says what? Don't do it. He's dead. Now, 11 verses earlier, Jesus says, do you believe that I can do this? And she says, yes. And then he goes to make it happen, and she says, no. Not just like a woman, Jan. It's 2017. We can't. I mean, I think it's a funny joke, but it's really, we shouldn't do that. Just like a woman. If you can cut that out of the feed, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, Jan. I don't know what I was going to say for the rest of the sermon now. You've just completely. So, here's to get back on track. She says, no, don't do it. So she lacks a little bit of that belief. She has some doubt. He's been dead for 4 days. Do you think there was probably a stench? Yeah, she's not wrong. Just like a woman, she's not wrong. This is a story about Jesus and Lazarus. And so this is the point that I want to get to. This is what I think makes us Lutheran. How much does Lazarus say in this story? He doesn't say anything. Why? He's dead. He's a man. No. All right, we're going to settle this right now. Take gender out of the equation. This was not a part of the story. He says nothing because he's dead. In the story with Nicodemus, it was about what can I know? What can I know about God? In the story about Jesus and the Samaritan woman, it's how do I worship the right way? In the story of the blind man, it's what can I do to complete this act that God, this gift that God has given me. And in this story of Jesus and Lazarus, Lazarus can do nothing. He can do nothing. He's dead. Lazarus is raised out of God's love and God's grace. Does Lazarus deserve to be raised? Not any more than anybody else. And out of Jesus' love for him that moves him to weep in John 11:35, out of that love and out of that grace, Jesus raises him. Which brings me to the answer. Is grace what makes us Lutheran? It's important to know things. It's important to worship and have your heart in that. It's important for us to do certain things. But all of those things, as great as they are, if we do not remember and focus on the fact that we are a people of grace, then the rest of it doesn't matter. And so let us move forward as we move towards Holy Week and towards the resurrection on Easter morning, always living out that promise and that gift of grace and giving it to others. Amen.